Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus the great I am. Amen. I want to talk about the Old Testament reading today, this great story that most of us learned in Sunday school, Moses, the burning bush. What's it have to do with us? How would it possibly relate to us? What message is there for the church? Let's pray. Lord, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts always to receive your holy word. Pour out the Holy Spirit upon your church today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is the greatest sight that you have ever laid eyes on? When I think of myself in regards to places I have been over to the Holy Land years ago, and what great sights are in the Holy Land, as you can imagine. I took a boat across the Sea of Galilee, imagining Jesus walking on the water and so forth. Great sight. Went to Jerusalem and all the sites in Jerusalem, walking where Jesus walked. Ann and I, as many of you know, a few years ago went to Hong Kong and into China a bit. Great sights all over the place there. Here in the United States, I was a vicar out in Montana, so I went to Yellowstone National Park, Glacier National Park, just beautiful parks, great sights that God has made. Smoky Mountains are pretty good. I don't know if I call them great. Is that okay? Okay, they're great too. And I have to be honest, when I first moved here years ago, the first time I went to Neyland Stadium, and I walked into the stadium and saw the orange checkerboard and all the orange and the power tee, it was a pretty good sight. And I think they might even won that game. It's been a while since we've had one, hasn't it? But I think they won too. But that was kind of a wow, this is college football now. And in regards to people, those are just places, but there are even greater sights when you think of people. Years ago, seeing Anne walk down the aisle in the wedding dress, that's a great sight for any man. And then my two daughters, Bethany and Megan, walking down the aisle, that's a great sight, but also one that causes you to grieve a bit, be a bit sad. The birth of four children, I was there for all of them. Great sights. What's the greatest thing you've seen? If we asked Moses that question, I suppose near the top of his list, Moses would talk about this burning bush. After all, we read in the text where Moses is out shepherding his sheep. When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses turned aside to see this great sight, the Bible says. Let's take a little tour today of the Bible. I want to talk about this great sight of the burning bush, but then that's just a little part of the sermon. I want to talk about a greater sight, and then the greatest sight of all that we can't take our eyes off of as Christians. And all this is packed into the story of the burning bush. So a little tour of sights in the Bible. A great sight, a greater sight, the greatest sight of all that we gaze at, meditate on as Christians forever. First of all, we have this great sight of the burning bush, and we're led to ask the question, why our God appears this way? Why didn't God just talk to Moses like he talks to people at times? He talked from a cloud, why not? Why not just give Moses a dream or a vision? He gave a dream to Jacob, he gives visions to people. Why not talk to him through a dream, a vision, a cloud, just talk to him like I'm talking? Why specifically a bush out in the desert in the middle of nowhere and fire that doesn't consume it? Why is God a fire in a bush and doesn't consume the bush? Well, here we have a very, very vivid illustration, a very vivid picture from God of God's patience with sinners. God is slow to anger. God is patient. He doesn't want to burn us all up and consume us all. He doesn't want to do that to Israel or you and I. He is patient and slow to anger. The bush, no doubt, represents this dead old bush out in the desert, represents the people of Israel. And they are slaves in Egypt at this time. They've been slaves for 430 years. They're a dead nation. They're a dried up bush. God is the fire, of course. And God is saying to Moses, I'm going to come dwell with my people. I'm going to come dwell with this bush, these dead slaves, if you will. And I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to save them. I'm going to bring them out of Egypt. And you think of the 10 plagues. You think of the Passover. You think of the Red Sea where God drowns the Egyptian army. I'm going to be with my people and dwell with them. You think of the desert then, 40 years, where all the people do is grumble, complain, commit idolatry with the golden calf and all sorts of other sins. God still is with them. He dwells in the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle. Then they go to the Promised Land, and God dwells with them there. And they rebel, they sin, they commit idolatry, and yet God is with his people. God is saying, I'm going to be patient. I could consume you like that. I could burn you all up if I want to. But I'm patient. I'm slow to anger. I'll bear with you people as much as you stray. And there are times when God singes the bush. Yeah, there are times he burns a little in anger. There are thousands that die in the desert. The ground opens up and kills thousands. God singeing the bush. Warns you people. There's immorality. And many of it think 3,000 are killed by the Levites because of immorality. God singeing the bush. You think of the grumbling and complaining when God sends the snakes upon them and the snakes bite the people. God is singeing them a bit. Then when they get to the Promised Land, of course they commit idolatry and God sends Assyria and Babylon to conquer the land. And Babylon burns up a lot of the land and the temple itself. God's singeing the bush. I'm patient. I'm slow to anger. But come on, people. Start producing fruit. Rather than being a dead bush out in the desert that's pretty much useless. Great sight. A great sight. But notice Moses' response to this sight. Moses takes off his sandals. And then we read where he hides his face for he was afraid to look at God. This is Old Testament. Great sight. God comes down. I'm right here. Yet he's a fire. Moses is afraid. Keep your distance, Moses. Stay away. There's not really the relationship with God yet. There's still distance. If we're ever going to be one with God, God has to come down as something other than a fire because we people can't live in fire. Basic message here. Distance. Sort of like you've all been at a campfire and it's cool out and you all love the campfire. You gather around the campfire and you roast the marshmallows and the hot dogs. But what do parents tell small children all the time around a campfire? Don't get too close, Johnny, Susie. It's a fire. Don't get too close and don't push your brother into the fire. It's a fire. It's wonderful. It's a fire. Stay away. And that's the burning bush. The patience of God, but I'm a fire. And my anger burns. God must come down as something else. And that leads to the greater sight. And in the greater sight, we now move to the New Testament. And the greater sight is that God in the New Testament is no longer a bush out in the middle of nowhere. God in the New Testament is a baby in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's the greater sight. God becomes a human, a baby. He's no longer a fire. Now we can be with God. Now we can hold God. We can kiss God. God can kiss us. We can be one with God because he's one of us. He's a baby. He's a human. Who's afraid of a baby? What a gracious God we have. You have parallels between the Exodus story here and Christmas. It's intended. When you read stories like this in the Old Testament, there's always foreshadowing things that point to the New Testament. That's the purpose of Old Testament stories. They foreshadow, they point forward to Jesus and New Testament. That's how you are to read it. That's how it applies. And notice in Exodus, God appears in the middle of nowhere, a desert. In Luke 2 in the New Testament, he appears out in some stable in a manger outside of Bethlehem somewhere. Basically, nowhere. In Exodus 3, God is visible. We can see him. He's a fire. In Luke 2, God is visible. He's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. In Exodus 3, God appears to a shepherd watching his flock, Moses. Ah, now a connection. In Luke 2, the shepherds get the announcement. They're watching their flocks like Moses. They're watching their sheep. And the angels come and they see the glory of God. Not just a fire. They see the very glory of God and all the angels. Wow. In Exodus 3, Moses is afraid. He hides his face. In Luke 2, the Christmas story, the shepherds are afraid of the glory of God. But now here's the difference. In Exodus 3, Moses stays afraid. It's the fire of God. Take off my sandal. But in Luke 2, what's the first words of Christmas? Christmas is coming, folks. By the way, Merry Christmas. Thank you very much. It's a great Christmas story. Merry Christmas. It's a Christmas story here. In Luke 2, what's the angel say to the shepherd? Stay away. Holy ground? No. Fear not. There you have it. Don't be afraid, shepherds. Fear not. And go see this Savior Christ the Lord. And the shepherds go. Moses doesn't get any closer. The shepherds go. And no doubt they bow down before the manger. No doubt they pick up the little baby Jesus. They kiss him. They hold him. And what's the proclamation of the angels? Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. The burning bushes, I'm patient. I won't burn you for now. But that's not really that good because we're always afraid of getting burned. Christmas now, peace on earth. Not patience, but peace, reconciliation. God and man truly back together because I forgive you and I love you. I'm one of you. I'll die for you. It's greater, you see. There's a better relationship than just tolerating someone, putting up with them. A better relationship is to reconcile with them and to forgive and be family again. And that's Christmas. Sort of like Abby and Ann at night sometimes want a coffee. It's cold out. Dad, go get some coffees. Now, if I run out and get coffee and I bring home Weigel's coffee and I put some cream in it, here's yours, Ann, here's your Abby, what response do I get? Okay, Dad. Thanks. Not a real great response. Weigel's coffee. It's okay. Tolerate it. We'll drink it. It's all right. Thanks, Dad. Now go on and watch your ball game, whatever you're going to do. I'm lucky to get back in the house. But if I bring home Starbucks and I have a pumpkin spice Starbucks latte and a caramel mocha latte, and not a little size, I get the venti, the really big one. What's the response? Dad, you're my hero. Come on in, Dad. Welcome home, Dad. Have the couch. Watch the ball game. We're a big, happy family because, wow, you brought us to Starbucks. It's a lot better. You see, God has to come down as more than a fire. Then it's just okay. But we're halfway scared. God is a baby. Now things are getting better. Now there's reconciliation. Now there's salvation. Now there's forgiveness. Now we can really be with God. And all is good. God can do no wrong. But there's the greatest sight of all. And we can't take our eyes off of this sight. We've been looking at it throughout our service. God in Exodus 3 is in a bush. Luke 2, he's a baby. But the greatest sight in the universe is when God, our God, sheds his blood on a cross to save mankind. Now, there's the greatest sight in the universe. It's called the cross of Jesus. There is the sight of sights. That's why we carry in the cross. We look at the cross. There's crosses all over the church. I don't know if you can find a burning bush anywhere. Maybe there's one somewhere. I don't know if we have a great manger scene here, one of our windows, and rightly so. We're going to decorate the church for Christmas, rightly so. That's all kind of here now, but okay, we got something better even than that. We have God bloodied on a cross for the sins of the world. And we have crosses all over that we adore every Sunday, every Wednesday, whenever we come to God's house. In chapel a while back, I counted at least 12 to 15 crosses from this area on up all over the place. We have crosses. You can count them yourself. Cross, cross, cross. There's the sight of sight. And the story of the burning bush also foreshadows Good Friday. That's why it's there. God appears on a mountain, Mount Horeb. Not an accident, for God on Good Friday would appear on a mountain called Mount Calvary, wouldn't he? God in Exodus 3 says, take off your sandals. But at Mount Calvary, God says, your sins are taken away. We need more than our dirty sandals taken away. We got to have our dirty sins taken away. And that happens at Mount Calvary. In Exodus 3, the ground is made holy. Fantastic. The ground's holy. But what's it matter? It's ground. At Mount Calvary, people are made holy. You and I are made holy, for we are forgiven and righteous. That's a much greater thing than Moses ever had in Exodus chapter 3. What a God we have. In Exodus 3, God does a lot of talking. You heard me read it. God talks and talks to Moses. I am that I am, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do all this stuff and save my people. I will. You hear it all over the place. God promising to do great things. God's talking a lot. At Mount Calvary, God acts. God doesn't talk a lot at Mount Calvary. A few words. The main thing God says is, it is finished. I'm done talking for a while. It's time to act. It is finished. There you have completion. God has redeemed his people. If the burning bush shows us the patience of God, Christmas, the peace of God, then the cross shows us the power of God. The power of God over sin. The power of God over death. The power of God over all evil. The power of God to save you and I, wretched people. To give us resurrection and glory in heaven. The power of God, the gospel is the cross of our Lord Jesus. What happens when Jesus dies? Powerful things happen. There's darkness from noon to three. The curtain in the temple breaks apart. Now you can come to your God. You're not like Moses afraid. You come right to your God. Dead people rise from the grave. The power of God over death in the death of Jesus. Great things happen. Salvation. The other night, we rented the little kids movie Monster University. Did you like Monsters, Inc.? I love that movie. And we rented Monsters University, where the monsters go to learn what, kids? What are all the monsters supposed to learn to do? To scare children. And they're at a university to scare kids. And they learn all the techniques of hiding behind the bed and everywhere else to scare children. Because what do they want the children to do? To scream and to yell. It's all fun. But what's not so fun is a lot of people in our world that think God's a monster. God's some horrifying figure that wants to scare me and terrify me and burn me. And watch out! Tell them to look at the cross. God is no monster. God's a man. God's a man shedding his blood, saying it is finished. You're forgiven. You're free. You're righteous. Your sins are washed away. Don't be afraid. Come to me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're back together forever and ever. So, a great sight, God in a bush. A greater sight, God as a baby. The greatest sight of all, look at it, meditate on it. Look at it some more, meditate on it, friends. God bloodied on a cross for the sins of the world. We thank God for all these great sights. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.